Jokic behind his back. What a take by Jokic.
That's your sitter. Wow.
I'm going to crack it here.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Pickaxe Pundit Show. I am Zach Vikosh, DenverStiffs.com. You are listening to Nothing But Net Radio. It is Saturday, 4 o'clock, another beautiful Saturday here in Denver, Colorado. We are, of course, the one and only Denver Nuggets dedicated show on Nothing But Net Radio. So if you are looking for the Denver Nuggets takes, you are in the right spot. Let's first introduce our co-host today, all the way down in, well, I don't know, you've recently moved, Mr. Brendan Vogt. Brendan, what's up?
What's going on, man? I'm doing all right. Quick story right off the bat. I'm just going to break the ice, get real candid.
All right.
Went to McDonald's for a coffee. I don't think they put any coffee. I think they gave me a full cup of icing and milk and sugar. And I'm too broke to throw anything out. So I had to finish it. And I feel terrible. I feel terrible. How are you?
I am great. These are the types of dreams that you too could live if you ever get into working for Denver Stiffs and the sports journalism in general. It's like the most disappointing thing in the world. Like when you're like, man, I just need some coffee, and then you clearly get that person who does not drink coffee at all, but somehow got a job making coffee,
right.
or like they're at McDonald's. So of course, like, yeah, they don't. Maybe they're making coffee is just not their thing.
I think they were out of coffee. I think he got halfway up the cup and he was like, what do I do? And he just, yeah.
He's just like, just go with it. Just go with it. Brendan will be leaving a sternly worded Yelp review later on in the evening here. All right. Well, as much as I would love to continue to harp on the quality of your local McDonald's, I do not want to end up with a lawsuit, so I'm gonna move on.
Yeah, we can talk about basketball. That's fine.
Right, Denver Nuggets basketball. Even we are almost there. This is the last show before the NBA draft. Next time we're talking next week, we will be talking about what the Nuggets did on draft night. So that is how, of course, we're gonna open up the show. I'm going to ask Brendan. I want to figure out. We'll talk back and forth about what we would do if we were in Tim Connelly and Arturis Konosovas' chairs. What we would, what our strategies would be, and then we'll talk about a surprise move we think might happen that doesn't involve the Nuggets. And then after that, confirming news. But Kawhi Leonard wants out with the San Antonio Spurs. Of course, we'll talk about if whether or not the Nuggets should be chasing the services of Kawhi Leonard, and then where we actually think he'll end up going. And then we'll wrap up the show. We didn't get to it last week, so we are going to get to it this week, I promise. We're going to talk about Denver Nuggets' new jerseys. They've, of course, unveiled three different new jerseys in their totally new color scheme, new icons, a whole kind of rebrand. So I want to talk about that. And then also news yesterday, not as big as Kawhi Leonard news, but Denver Nuggets news, also kind of confirming what we probably already knew. Darrell Arthur opts into his player option. So we will close out the show talking about Darrell Arthur opting in and what impact that has. So that will that's it. That's a pretty full slate of basketball topics right there, at least for 1 hour. So we're going to have to get right to it. Let's get into the NBA draft. All right, Brendan, you are Tim Connelly. It is Thursday, the 21st, draft night. What are you doing?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you gave me Connelly instead of Arturis, because if I was in the ladder's chair, my feet would not touch the ground. So he's a tall guy.
Excellent. Yes. He's certainly a, you can, Arturis, one of those guys, the minute you meet him, you say, he definitely has played basketball at a high level at some point in his life.
And I have not. But anyway, I'm in Tim's chair. It's comfortable. I'm feeling good. I had spent a lot of time leading up to the draft writing about the possibility that they use the pick to get off of those contracts, mainly because I wanted Nuggets fans to be aware of that, as a distinct possibility. But I think somewhere along the line, I forgot that I actually don't think that's ideal. At this point, I'd like to see the Nuggets stay in the draft because there's noise that someone like Bridges may fall. As we get closer to the draft, people are starting to feel a lot better about Kevin Knox. And, you know, Zach, the Nuggets are a team that do have some assets, and there's rumors now that some high-level talent might drop. So I'm thinking stay in the draft. I think if Bridges or Shai is there, Shai Alexander, I should say, out of Kentucky, you think about either drafting him or moving up one or two slots to do so. But also, Zach, I think if someone passes on Doncic and that falls down to four or five, I think you're not doing your job if you're not making some serious phone calls. What do you think?
Right. Yeah, no, I very much agree with your assessment there. I think the first move that I'm probably making, or I'm not even making, I don't know, is probably the Doncic move, right? That's the thing you're looking at. I'm looking as high as pick number three. I threw this out in our, amongst our writers yesterday, just privately, that what if the Nuggets tried to trade Gary Harris and Kenneth Reed and their 14th pick to try and get that number three pick from Atlanta if Doncic was there? Now, obviously, giving up Gary Harris is a really tough pill to swallow. But the thing about it is Gary's contract is he becomes significantly more expensive next season. Not to say that he's on a bad deal. He's not. He's actually on a very good deal for the talent you get, which is why he would be a good asset to trade. But you give up a proven player for as great as we think Doncic will be, he is still unproven in the NBA. So there's a gamble there. But when you get down to it, if you add Fareed into that deal, you get about $26 million savings in cap room. That pretty much solves the Nuggets cap issues, because then next season, of course, they've got the options on Paul Millsap. They would still have, if Wilson Chandler opted in, if they don't move Darrell Arthur, now that we know he's opted in, you know, that there's still a significant amount of more expiring cap space that comes off next season. So it would really kind of solve their cap issues that they have. They'd get a player like Luka Doncic, who is obviously an outstanding prospect. And they would still, you know, they would still have Jamal Murray. They would still have Nikola Jokic. They would still have Paul Millsap. So if Doncic ends up, if you end up hitting the jackpot on Doncic, another championship piece to go with Nikola Jokic, who's a player you probably already think is a championship piece. If Jamal Murray develops like you hope him to, then you're talking about a team that could possibly be contending at some point in the future. So that's the first move I go. After that, I'm with you, though. I want to stay in the draft. I don't want to just use the pick to dump Fareed's contract. I think that's just it's just like the bare minimum that you have to do in this draft. It's like basically like that. It's hard to say that would be a complete failure, because you need to get off that contract, but it would be a tough pill to swallow. The thing, though, that I look at is like you said, there's players like Miles Bridges potentially falling, potentially being there at 14 for the Nuggets. So I look at a guy like him, Shai. I look at Kevin Knox, and then, of course, like Mikal Bridges, if they were that ridiculously lucky, which I don't think they are. I look at those four guys. If one of them is still there, I take them. Otherwise, then maybe I start trying to package a Fareed with the pick to just move back, but somehow still pick up, you know, like a late first rounder. That would be my strategy.
Yeah, that's a good point. And also, to be sort of fair to the proponents of the strategy, I don't think anyone's really advocating just that straight up swap for the dump. I think, you know, if you're looking at teams like Atlanta and Brooklyn, you know, you're looking at trading back. It's not like trading completely out of the draft. And, right. You know, something to think about, Zach, and we'll talk about this later in the show, is Darrell Arthur has opted in. So, you know, as a team like Brooklyn, are you willing to trade back for a second round pick instead of a trade all the way out of the first round? Are they willing to take both of those contracts on? That's something to think about as well. The Gary Harris trade is fascinating, man. I love Gary Harris. I think he's great alongside Nikola Jokic. I think he's obviously a part of the blueprint that the Nuggets have sort of committed to here. But the sort of tough conversation to have, man, is there are questions about the ceiling of this trio, insofar as, you know, Gary's too, he's not long enough to really be an impact defender on the wing, despite his great instincts and his great hands in the passing lanes. Murray is not a point of attack defender. Jokic is perhaps unfairly aligned defensively, but he's not great. And if you don't have a rim protector, a point of attack defender, or a wing defender, I mean, they're going to need to be the number one offense in the NBA to really compete. So, you know, talking about tough pills to swallow, this is not a popular take, and I'm not keen on writing about it just yet or anything like that, but it is possible that the Nuggets have to move on from this core at some point. So if you trade Gary Harris and you get off for Reed, and now you've got Doncic under team control, and yeah, with Millsap coming off the books the following year, maybe all of a sudden, for the first time in franchise history, organization history, you're well set up to do some real damage in free agency.
Right, right. And add that, kind of add that next piece to a still very young and exciting core. That's the thing, like giving up Gary Harris is, like we said, is a tough pill to swallow, but you still have an incredibly young and exciting core, because you have, you would have Doncic in his place, and who could potentially be better than Gary, who could potentially be, you know, a Hall of Fame type of player. I think that that he has that type of ceiling. Whether or not he hits it, is left to be seen. I do think when you look at him, he is probably the highest. Certainly, I don't even think it's really close. He's certainly, I think, the highest floor of any player in the draft. That's a guy that, you know, if you draft him, you are, and if you traded Gary Harris, that's either your starting small forward or your starting shooting guard, depending on whether or not you get a point guard to play next to Jamal Murray, or you have Jamal Murray continue as your point guard. But one way or another, that Luka Doncic would be a guy who would be in your starting lineup day one. It's an interesting move, and I think so. I think when it comes down to it, like, you almost look at Doncic and Gary Harris is almost as a wash, potentially even a little bit advantage Gary Harris, because like we said, he's a proven commodity.
Right.
But you get off of so much money, you know, and that's the thing. And it's because Gary is going to be paid $16 million, whereas Doncic is going to get like $4.5 million, you know.
And,
so there's that huge difference.
And Zach, you know, I'm thrilled that Adam Mares isn't on the laundry list, but if he was, you know, he'd be chomping at the bit here to say, plus it's Doncic. Like you said, the ceiling is Hall of Fame, man. I mean, does he hit that? We don't know. But what this kid has done to this point in his career is unprecedented. So in the scenario you proposed, which is clever, and if teams are interested to pick up a player of that caliber with that potential, admittedly just potential, and also get off of money to that degree, you can look at maybe bringing Will Barton back or not, and understanding that you might have more cap space to work with in the future. So, yeah, that's something that I would consider. And I know it's probably not popular with Denver fans right now, which, to their credit, I do love the fence of this core. I do like that the fans are attached to what is growing here organically. You know,
right.
I give Nuggets fans credit for that, because however disappointing these last two seasons were, they were ultra, ultra fun, at least in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, that's they're absolutely. And there's a they give you a hope. You know, there's something to look forward to. It's not just like a team that's got mostly kind of veteran guys who still have some nice moments, but are a mediocre or middle of the road type of team. Like, this is a middle of the road team that you look at and you say, this is the type of team that's going to continue to progress into the future. So you want, it's hard to just give up on that, especially when they're still so young, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, you know, the future of Doncic is probably bright as well. And at that point, the future of your cap sheet's looking nice, which at the moment is a pipe dream. It is a mess. So that's definitely something worth considering.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Let's take a shift gears a little bit here, Brendan. I want to ask you now, give me a team other than the Nuggets or a move outside of the Nuggets that you think you might see happen on draft night that people might not be expecting.
Okay. So all of the noise from Phoenix is that they're going to look to draft Ayton, right? At least that's my understanding. I think they pull a left on everyone and draft Doncic. I don't know what the advantage of this is, but I, you know, people have thought that this might be a potential smokescreen operation. Again, I'm not entirely sure what the incentive there is. Maybe it's to drive up value, you know, just to make trade negotiations more interesting. But I think Phoenix shocks the world and actually takes Doncic, at which point I think Sacramento, wanting a Porter type something far more than Ayton, actually looks to trade back in the draft, hoping that they can pick up an injured Porter somewhere around 7, 8, 9.
That would be an interesting thing, because you have to make that move. You know, it's different if you're a team who's sitting back late and they can jump forward and pick up Porter. For them, they would have to kind of gamble on that right now. Which, let me ask you this, dude: how much? So that was some other draft news that came out. What do you make of this whole Michael Porter Jr. situation? Because it's like, all right, he had some workouts and they canceled it. Then all of a sudden, okay, now he's gonna get some new medical evaluations. All right, it's good to go. Like what happens in 2 days? It suddenly looks like, oh yeah, no, it's totally good now. You know,
I'll tell you what. That's all I know to need to know to be scared. I'm not in an NBA right. front office. But you know what typically doesn't get better with age, Zach, is a reoccurring back issue. And he's really young, man. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say it because really no one has, that I've watched a ton of Michael Porter. But given that he doesn't necessarily appear to have the highest ceiling in this draft, I don't think one like – so Sacramento, for example, who's rumored to be very, very high on him, I think it would be outrageous to take him at two, right? He's just too much of a gamble. And if you're Cleveland, Zach, and you're sitting there at eight, and LeBron's probably leaving. I mean, I know they got a lot in the works, probably, as they attempt to keep King James. But you know, you don't want to end up like Trae Young, and at this point, Porter. I think with this news, are the two biggest question marks in the top 10, and that's like right in their range now, I think. And so if you're Cleveland, you know, maybe Sacramento is the ideal partner in that scenario, if they really are that high on Porter. But listen, man, back issues scare the heck out of me. And that's you're right. I don't buy that there was something so bad that he had to cancel a workout, and then 48 hours later, he's ready to go.
Right. Yeah. I look at it the same way. It's kind of I mean, I wrote even before this news came out, we did a roundtable, and that's what I said when we said, who do you think you're worried about the biggest chance of being a bust? And for me, it was Michael Porter Jr. Cause I was like, I just don't know, you know, if the guy will ever be healthy. I mean, back surgery, like he had, is like you said, it's not something that just kind of, you know, seems to go away forever. It always seems to linger around throughout a player's career, and anytime stuff like this comes up where it's all kind of fishy and there's this weird, because remember at first it was the story was like, well, only Chicago could check him out and they would give a medical report, or only his doctors in Chicago or something. I don't think it was just the Bulls. So and it was like, well, that's kind of, you know, why would you do that?
It's never a good sign to hide. Right? Yeah, there's literally no explanation unless you're worried about something being discovered. And, you know, as far as the Nuggets angle on this, though, goes, Zach, I do wonder, depending on how high one is on a Kevin Knox, this might be good for them. Assuming Porter is like, you know, after Doncic, depending on how you're looking at him, like the first true wing type to go. But he falls back because of the back issues. Like, I don't know. I could conceive of Knox falling a little further now. And that might be helpful for Denver, depending on how high you are on him. But look, man, back issues scare me. And the other thing about Porter is you have Ayton, who has had an unbelievable year, has an unbelievable build, and has, you know, the sky's the limit potential. You have Doncic, who's already accomplished what very few basketball players ever have. So, you know, I feel like it's really hard to come away from this draft with someone like Porter, who's barely played at all. I mean, there's just so many questions around him when you've got a lot of guys that have a solid body of work here.
Right. No, I 100% 100% agree. So let me throw this at you, because so what I was going to say for the team that I think that might be surprising is the team that's actually not in the first round at all. That is the Toronto Raptors. So basically nobody in Toronto is safe right now. They've kind of figured out they've hit the ceiling with this core that they have, but they've got high quality players and guys like Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. I would not be surprised to see one of those two guys get moved on Thursday night, just and somehow Masai Ujiri finds a way to inject himself into this draft, because Masai's always been one of those guys. He's always been able to find quality in the draft, or talent in the draft, even when it's not even a high lotto pick or something like that. So that would be a team that I think we might see a little bit of action out of, that nobody's kind of really talking about.
And they're clearly in somewhat of a desperate phase, right? That firing Casey was like unwarranted or unhinged, but you don't fire a guy whose peers just voted him the coach of the year unless you've reached this point where you're willing to accept a major shakeup. And you're right. Like, it's not like short of some blockbuster trade featuring their stars for another star, it's hard to see how they shake this thing up and start over without trying to start picking some more quality draft picks. So yeah, you're right. Masai is always a guy to keep an eye on, man. He's quite good at his job.
He's quite crafty. He's always been a guy, like I said, you got Kenneth Faried, who obviously not doing so well for the Nuggets now, but has had quite a good run there with Denver for a while, and he was a kind of a mid to late first round pick. Evan Fournier was a Masai Ujiri pick, another guy who's kind of late in the first round. Of course, this year he gets OG Anunoby, so always somebody to keep your eye on draft night for sure. All right, let's shift gears here a little bit. I want to talk about the big news of yesterday, which is that Kawhi Leonard, not officially, but what was it? Shams, right? Was it Shams who was on the?
Shams and Chris Haynes, I think, and they gave different types of reports here, but essentially, with arriving at the same conclusion.
Right, which is, of course, that Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio. No, the trust has been broken, right? That's essentially the story. So anytime a star comes up in trade rumors, of course, we got to talk about whether or not the Nuggets would want to be involved. Should they be involved? So Brendan, man, I'm going to ask you straight up: should the Denver Nuggets be pursuing a trade to get them Kawhi Leonard?
Well, every team should in a vacuum. But let's go outside of the vacuum. Let's be some Nuggets insiders here, Zach. They'd have to really opponent this. There's going to be an arms race here if there's a trade coming. And it's teams that have assets, right? We're talking Philly, Los Angeles, potentially Boston. The Nuggets are going to have to fork it over to get a guy like Kawhi. That means potentially breaking up this core, for a guy who is coming off of a not good injury. Like, I'm not a medical expert or doctor, but diseased tendon is worrisome as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And a guy that you don't necessarily know would want to be there beyond. Is it just next year? Does he have another option year after that?
He has a player option, so he could after next season he could opt out and be a free agent.
Right. So we just talked about being willing to move on from this core at some point, but in the scenario you proposed, you're talking about a player under key. Team control and money to use. In this scenario, you might lose, one of Murray and Harris plus Beasley and Wancho in a pick or something for a guy who just bolts. Right. So, I don't consider the Nuggets to be real players here at all, but I'm sure they'll make a phone call.
Right. Another thing that I was talking about with all our writers, early about when it came, this news came up when we were talking trades, was Gary Harris, just because, for salary matching purposes, he's got a salary that gets you pretty close to what Kawhi will make. And then I had Trey Lyles as the other piece, and then the number 14 pick. You could do that trade. So because when you look at it, so last year, Indiana trades Well, they traded Paul George to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and in return they got Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. So kind of a really almost very similar trade. You've got like this this guard, this very talented guard, but who's kind of not – he's not really broken out yet. Looks like he could very shortly if he's given the opportunity. And then you get a nice, you know, a nice big, young big to go with him.
Do you think that takes pick 14 though as well? Because
that's the thing. Honestly, I don't think Indiana had to, or I don't think Oklahoma City had to give up a pick. Whereas I do think, I would think Denver would give up the number 14 pick in the draft as well to make that trade. But like you said, man, the hard part to swallow is like Kawhi. You know, I mean, he said he wants to, the rumor at least is that he wants to go to the Lakers, or just wants to go to Los Angeles. Which is his hometown, so that you can give that credit to him. But there's also was talk in that big ESPN article about this situation, about how that his team, at least his people, wanted him to be in a bigger market. So I don't know what that means necessarily.
Oh, come on, Zach. Denver doesn't work. Denver's not a big enough. Denver's not good for your star profile.
I guess not yet. I mean, it's good though. Like, if you want to, you know, just kind of like silently invest in marijuana, I guess you could. This is
right.
This is what we have to be pitching off record. In this fridge, be like, you know, you have a high amount of income that you could invest in a largely rapidly growing industry.
Five, 10 years, you know, who knows? Forget an endorsement deal. This is where the money is.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Nobody even has to know what's going on. All very hush hush. That's perfect for Kawhi Leonard. Like, it fits his like quiet superstar persona. You know, he's just chilling out here in the mountains. Nobody knows that he's actually just like raking in, like he's, you know, getting $20 million to play basketball, and he's making like $300 million as a silent investor.
Look, he makes like, I'm pretty sure his Jordan deal was like $1 million flat. Oh, we joke, but you know, someone's gonna have some sort of incentive package here that's more flattering than what he's got.
Right. Yeah. No. Absolutely. It's hard for me to think that the Nuggets should chase this deal, because we joke, but I just don't. Yeah, I don't think there's any chance that he actually would stay in Denver. Short of like, if they won they'd have to like win the title, right? Or like,
right.
You don't know though, right? Because now the rumor is that maybe Paul George will stay in Oklahoma City, but you'd have to have a high level of success, I think. At least, you know, maybe a Western Conference Finals trip.
I don't buy that at all, man, about Paul George.
Yeah.
I don't know if do you ever watch Game of Zones by Bleacher Report there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the latest one where Steven Adams points out, like, mate, you're literally wearing a Lakers tunic. I mean, it's fairly obvious, I think. Not that I'm in his head.
Right.
But I don't know, man.
Does that make you angry?
That he wants to go to the Lakers?
No, that Kawhi wants to go to the Lakers, Paul George wants to go to the Lakers, oh, and then they'll somehow figure out a way and convince LeBron to come to the Lakers.
It kind of does. It's not like they're the team that, like, we need to, you know, it's not like the way they've struggled this decade warrants any sympathy. You know, there's a million other teams I'd rather see figure this thing out before the Lakers, but, one thing that was sort of brought up when Kevin Durant made his decision, which in my opinion is objectively infuriating, but we have to remember sometimes it can be as simple as like, that's just where I want to play basketball. Like, not all of these dudes are about their legacies or like competitive balance. Like, what if Paul George just really wants to play for the Lakers and it's just that simple?
Yeah, I think we forget hang out in LA.
Yeah, and maybe he's just grown up envisioning himself in that jersey, and he just feels like he's reached the point in his career where he's entitled to that, you know, and he is. Right. I am surprised by Kawhi, though, dude, on several levels.
Really? Because that, like, Kawhi, I get just because it's, the, like I said, it's the hometown kind of angle, if nothing else.
I guess that's true. So. But just the star profile stuff, you know, it's
yeah, that part's surprising.
It's a good example, man, and you know, you and I can attest to this in a limited fashion and getting to do some media work and locker room work. The more access you get, the more you realize, you know, how little we know these guys and you know, the identity that the media cultivates, like that stuff can be cyclical and there's echo chamber dynamics there and it's not necessarily accurate. So like, you know, 4 years ago, if you told us that Kevin Durant would leave for the Warriors and have burner accounts and that Kawhi Leonard would throw a diva fit, I don't think we would have believed you. But, you know, part of it, I think the lesson here might be that, you know, we really don't know these guys as well as we would like to.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We want, intentional or not, narratives get made about players and about who they are, because like you want to tell a story at the end of the day. And so a story needs characters. And so sometimes, well, that's just it. The character supersedes the actual person in our mind.
Exactly. Yeah.
We don't tend to really figure really where we really get shocked by stuff like this. When suddenly they say a player who's supposed to be a quiet superstar wants to end up going to LA. I want to stick with this. Here's what we're going to do. Let's go ahead. Let's hit the break. And then we come back. I want to stick with this Kawhi Leonard for just a little bit longer. I want to talk a little bit more about where he actually might go, and then kind of like how that affects the Nuggets in terms of next season and going into the future. I want to talk a little bit more about the potential Lakers super team, or whether or not the Spurs would actually do that. And then after that, we will wrap up the show. We'll get into some Denver Nuggets, just some general Denver Nuggets news and notes that we haven't been able to touch on yet. At least haven't been able to touch on those jerseys, and we haven't. And then we know now that Darrell Arthur is opting in to his player option.
Watch out, Utah! So, Darrell Arthur's back.
Watch. That's right. That's right. The Jazz Assassin. That's actually not a bad game. You should,
no, he just needs to get some minutes against Utah first, and then we're.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right. Well, let's hit a break, and then we'll be right back. We've all been there. When the budget's the tightest, or a time is the shortest, that's when disaster strikes. The last thing anyone wants to deal with in these times is an electrical issue in their home or business. Maybe your light suddenly won't turn on, or maybe a home inspector wants that electrical service changed before you can close out on a property you're selling. Heck, maybe it's not even an emergency at all, and you're just looking to finish out your basement or get some power ran to that new AC unit. Whatever your need may be, give Sun Electrical a call. They're a family-owned and operated business that serves the Front Range, and you can be assured that you'll not only get the highest quality service, but you'll also get the most affordable price as well. Mike, the owner of Sun Electrical, will come to your home or business personally to evaluate your situation and provide a free estimate. And he stands by the work Sun performs as a fully licensed and insured electrical contractor. So give him a call, 719-659-6888. Don't be fooled by the phone number, as they'll serve the entire Front Range from Colorado Springs to Fort Collins and everywhere in between. That's 719-659-6888. 719-659-6888. Sun Electrical, the home of truly affordable electrical work. Welcome back into the Pickaxe Pundit Show. Zach Mikosh, Brendan Vajete. We are. You're never going to see. You should have never told me that on the very first show.
I like it. Good memory. All That's right. good. It's a good callback there, as they say in the biz.
In the biz, yeah. I didn't realize you were so knowledgeable of things. You did live in LA for a while, right? Though, like, yeah. So you were.
That's right. I'm Hollywood.
You're
man.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much a celebrity. This is the biggest guest I've ever had on Pickaxe Funded Show. I want to keep going on this Kawhi Leonard discussion, and now that we've kind of talked about why that we both kind of think the Nuggets would not be interested in chasing after him. Where might he actually end up? Of course, like we said, there's the talk about him wanting to go to LA, potentially the Lakers. But the thing about it is the Spurs are not obligated to trade Kawhi Leonard to the Lakers. The Spurs are obligated to now at this point trade, get the best deal they can. Brendan, do you think he ends up going to LA, or do you think he goes He ends up going somewhere else. And then if so, where does he go?
LA would be my guess now, Zach. I do think part of the evolution in professional sports has included viewing some of those sort of unwritten rules and the deep roots of rivalry stuff is, I do think some of it's a bit antiquated. I think we're at the point where San Antonio should and will simply take the best deal that's available to them. That may mean, though, that they're willing to push Los Angeles more in those negotiations, right? Like we could send Kawhi anywhere. So if it's going to go to you, of all people, it's going to be Ingram and Kuzma and the pick, you know, whatever it takes. If it was in LA, Zach, I think it's one of two places. Not again, I could not have any less info on this, but Los Angeles or Philadelphia would be my other guess. They have both the assets and the talent. And if they make a trade for Kawhi, depending on who they trade and what they do with certain expiring contracts, they could have the room to pursue a guy like Paul George or maybe even LeBron as well. And so you have to imagine that that is also appealing to Kawhi. If you know, assuming he's still a competitive dude, which I think he is.
Right,
so
right.
I would say yeah. Philly or Los Angeles. Yeah.
Philly or Los Angeles. Very interesting. Very interesting. So that's what you got to beat, right? Or at least you got to be able to beat Brandon Ingram, because that's the obvious piece from the Lakers that would go back to the Spurs,
right?
In a Kawhi trade. The thing about the Spurs is they're kind of like they're still like need to be in a somewhat win now timeline because the fact that they're still going to be paying LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol quite a bit of money here
and
for
they,
the next couple seasons.
Another way of looking at it, though, Zach, is if the rumors, the longstanding rumors, they're not new, that Popovich will hang up after the 2020 season, with Kawhi headed out of town, perhaps the Spurs just start looking at full rebuild mode, you know? I think the window to giving Pop a team that's good enough to beat someone like Golden State, like I think the Godfather offer in this Kawhi situation is something that's built with an eye towards the future. Like, I don't see a scenario in which they get star players back and they're ready to go. So I wonder, man, if for the first time in really the majority, if not the entirety of my true basketball fandom, that the Spurs hit, you know, go full yard sale here.
What if they went the other direction? What if they trade Kawhi to Cleveland and get LeBron James back in return? Why don't we just do that? You know, and then that way Kawhi can go play. Cleveland's like basically going to lose LeBron anyway, so they just get Kawhi, you know, and see if that works out for a season. But that's what it takes, right? Like that's the only only type of deal that you could give Pop to be like, all right, they still have a shot at chasing this title. Not that I don't know that LeBron with Marcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol is going to be.
You know,
he's going to be much better than what he had.
We say that, but he was inches away from game one with Jordan Clarkson and Jeff Green. So you never know, Zach. I mean, it really might be.
J.R. Smith.
Oh, boy. Yep. It really might be enough. Honestly. And you know, I don't think it'll happen, but it'd be a lot of fun. And this is not a revelatory take. But imagine LeBron, you know, with a coach who's an equal basketball mind and a team that wants to play basketball the right way. I do think at this point in LeBron's career, you're going to have to pry the ball out of his cold, dead hands. But I do think he's willing to share the ball and play with dudes who are willing to play the right way. And you'd have to think that San Antonio would at least be a fun experiment, if nothing less.
Right, right. Yeah, it would certainly be interesting. I think about, you know, if Kawhi Leonard, like you said, if he's not coming to the Nuggets, it's like one of those times where this is like Nug life. You always Nuggets are never like, they never are trading for the star, but they're always like, well, maybe we can be that third team that helps facilitate. Yes.
It's the epitome of Nug life. Yeah. That's how we get involved.
It's like that. Like you're like at that party and there's like that circle of cool kids and they're all talking to each other and there's like no space to like kind of get in there, but you kind of want to. So you kind of like. You know, you kind of like shimmy your way in between people.
And that's a perfect analogy because in the SB Nation mock draft, you know, our Twitter account was recently DM'd by the sites of Charlotte and Utah. I'm new to SB Nation, Zach, so I don't know their names. So whatever. But proposing a three-team trade, But the Nuggets' role in this trade was basically helping Utah get Kemba. And it's like, in exchange, we'll take Fareed, which in your analogy is, yeah, sure, you can come to the party. You're not going to be our – we might not hang out with you. We're going to charge you for beer. But, like, you can come, you know. That's the extent of their invitation in these types of events.
Exactly. And it's just like, well – one of these days, man, one of these days, we're gonna have our 15 minutes of fame and be the cool kid at the party.
Hey, Doncic and Jokic, man, even if they're not any good, that's a league pass alert right there, you know?
let me ask you this. I want to – real quick. If that happened, if they got Jokic and Doncic, throw at me what is the nickname for that duo?
Oh, man, it's something involving – there's obviously there's some sort of Serbian joke, but the itch, man, there's something about that. I see that Eastern European itch. Someone much cleverer than I has to do some good work on that department.
Right. I should point out that Doncic is actually Slovenian.
That's true. That's true. You should point that out. So. And I should point out that I'm an idiot, but
That's okay. Yeah, no, I would – I mean, yeah, you figure we could just, like, recycle some Jusuf Nurkic, Nikola Jokic nicknames, but there never were any. I don't think they called – what was that? What was the Jusuf? It was like a
– It was a somewhat insensitive reference to Bosnian-Serbian conflict, if I do remember.
I think they called it Jurkic was what –
Okay. I might have a different one in mind.
I was like, where did you – I don't know where you were reporting on this from, Brendan, but – golly.
I wasn't in Denver yet. You got
some different sources than I. than I on this. So I remember it was like, when they first came out and they were playing together in Jokic's rookie year, announcers didn't know what to make of it, and they could never seem to get it right. And they'd always end up calling one of them like Jurkic or, you know, some sort of combination of that. So I don't think that works in this scenario. So we're going to have to come up with something better. If it was the Doncic and Jokic, we'd have to.
You know what? If
Itchy Brothers.
I think this is a testament to why that's a good trade. If this is our biggest problem, is coming up with a nickname. The basketball would be good. That I'm confident.
Absolutely, that we don't have to worry about. All right. We got to get into this Nuggets. This Nuggets news and notes section, because we do have to talk about these brand new jerseys. It's like one of those huge things, right? Or it's supposed to be one of those huge things, but I think now it's like, all right, this is kind of like the third year in a row the Nuggets.
Yeah, it's losing its steam, isn't it, Zach?
Right, exactly. We're like, how many more times are you guys gonna play this card? Because you know, we appreciated. Listen, I appreciated the hors d'oeuvres and the open bar at the jersey unveiling. It was a excellent event by the Nuggets, and they really went all out for us. That was really cool of them to do. So that was awesome. But at least, and I think the other cool thing this time, I guess, is this time they really did go all in with the jersey redesign, right? Like, this is a totally new design.
I really like the jersey, Zach. I'll just say it flat out now before you ask me. I don't need my jerseys to be noisy or flashy, personally. You know, there are little nits you can pick. Perhaps the red lettering on the white isn't what I would have gone with, but like these are clean jerseys. And to the point you were just making, this Mile High City one is a major, major departure from anything they've really gone with. So in that regard, it's certainly fun and different for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Mile High City one is obviously the one that pops the most, because it's, you know, it's a completely new type of design that we haven't seen. And it is very, it's very, you know, simplistic in its, in I think in their approach, but you got the like the skyline on the belt there. It's certainly my favorite, and I certainly like the color scheme. I think that's the big change, right?
Yes.
We're done with baby blue. We're back to a more 90s, style color scheme. And then that Mile High City is really a 1970s. It's kind of a, the color scheme, at least, is very similar to the to that of the Maxi Minor jersey back in
right
back in the 70s. So that's kind of a cool thing. And it also, of course, mimics the Colorado flag, which is like, I was thinking about this, like, how crazy is it? It's taken this long.
It's taken
this long for a Colorado team to finally decide, like, yeah, we're going to rock the Colorado flag colors.
And I was thinking about that as a transplant, man. Like, the Nuggets colors, and even before I was a Nuggets guy, just sort of watching the team from afar in Jersey, those colors never made sense to me. I didn't, like, dislike them. Then you'd watch the Avalanche play, and then you'd see the Rockies play, and I just had no clue what the theme was here, you know? And I just feel like
– right.
I'm with you, man. I think it's hilarious that it's sort of taking this long, but they just make sense. They feel like Colorado, if you'll allow such a fresh transplant to say so.
Right, right. I will certainly allow allow that. No native bumper stickers here. even though I am actually a native. I think I get it. Like, you know, at least the story, of course, is the Broncos colors are based off of the sunset, off of a Colorado sunset. The Rockies, of course, the Purple Mountains. But yeah, it just seems like so obvious. And the Nuggets were obviously pretty much there back in the 90s. They had a little bit, it was more of a gold color than a yellow, and kind of a darker blue. But they had that theme of this yellow, red, and blue as their primary colors. So I'm happy to go back to it. I don't think, you know, like a lot of people were like, oh, it looks like a Cavs jersey. I don't think that. Like, I mean, you could pick any, like every single set of colors, every single combination of colors.
Right. There's only so many colors. God-awful
ugly. Right. Like, I guess we could have, you know, what's funny. I was just like, I guess we could have gone with like orange and brown. And I'm like, oh, no, then we'd be like, oh, you guys look like the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
Like, it's,
you know, who,
even,
you know,
even the most terrible combos.
I'm pretty sure red is a fairly popular color. Like, I don't think Cleveland red, gets to blue. Claim an entire primary color, dude. I don't. Right. There's only so many options, you know.
Right. Exactly. That's what they literally went with, the primary colors. Okay. Like, you can't. Yeah. You can't claim them for one team.
It's hardly intellectual property, you know. It's like
exactly. I like it. I mean, I'm biased because I grew up in the 90s, so that's like my nostalgia thing. That's how they get me right there, is because of the with the colors. I like the mountains on the side of the shorts. I think that's kind of a cool little detail. Like you said, it's a clean look. I've liked where they've been with the different colors on the between the lettering and the numbers, but I always thought it looked weird, especially 2 years ago when they had the navy on the light blue and then the, I think it was a white up on the top. It looked kind of just off-putting. Whereas this on this jersey, I actually kind of like it. I do get what you're saying about the red letters on that white jersey, but overall, I think it's a good look. I'm excited to. I'm excited to see them, and maybe I'll even go out and buy one of those Mile High City jerseys. I'll wait till after the draft, figure out who's still on the team.
There you go.
You never know. It's like when you go out and buy that one jersey. It's like my dad, man. I felt so bad for him. He was like, "Yeah, I went out. This was last season." He was like, "I went out and got a Nuggets jersey for my birthday," and this was like this was like in September, so it was right about this before the season was gonna start. And he's like, "And I got Gallinari, that's gonna be awesome." And I was like, Gallo's probably not gonna be back after next season, Dad.
Nope. I'm pretty sure NBA.com is offering jersey insurance, though. Have you seen this?
I have not seen this.
I think it's not a great deal, but I think if you pay like a flat fee, or it might even be included now in any purchase, you get like 6 months. And if a player leaves, that's where we're at in the NBA. The store needed a contingency plan.
Right, exactly. We got to like insure this because it's people. Nobody wants to buy jerseys anymore. Players are all going everywhere. I can see it. That's kind of cool. I might maybe I will if I can get me like a different Nuggets jersey and not worry about the player.
I'm pretty sure Jokic is going to be around. So.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, I already have, I have a Jokic. I have one of the white gold Jokic jerseys. So All right, you know what? Let's go ahead. We're getting close to the end here, so I want to get into the final bit of news, which is the news that Darrell Arthur ends up opting into his contract with the Denver Nuggets. His final year of his player option, $7 million. Brendan, I mean, we had to kind of see this coming, right?
Oh, yeah. This is what one would call a smart business decision by Mr. Arthur.
Right.
Go ahead and get your checks. And, like, as much as I'd like to see Will Barton back, you know, good for Darrell. I often find myself, you know, harboring some sympathy for players who are sort of chained to the end of the bench, because most of these guys are competitors and they want to play. But then I go on SpoTrack and I see the guaranteed money and I'm thinking, good for them. I don't need to feel bad for them at all. They're doing just fine.
That's a pretty sweet life for sure. it makes perfect sense for me from DA, because here's the thing, like, would he get another contract if he opted out? Maybe, but it's almost like guaranteed to be a one-year deal for less than $7 million. So, you know, it's like a two-year deal, but there's a team option on the back end of it. So, like, and you know, there's no way he's getting anything better than 1 year, $7 bucks.
No way.
It's just not going to happen.
No way.
Even if he got a two-year guaranteed deal, it's still the total stuff.
Honestly, Zach, if he hit the market right now, like, he would be lucky to catch at like much above the minimum. And I'm not, that's not like slander. He doesn't play very much. He in a bad injury history, like, the best of Darrell Arthur's basketball is behind him. And I have nothing against him or anything like that. He's a great guy as far as I've dealt with him, but that's just, like, I think the reality at this point at age 30. Yeah. So
I think so as well. He's a guy that I could see going into coaching.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Any chance they can convince him to do that now?
Yeah, right. We'll still pay you the $7 million. He'd be the highest paid coach in the NBA.
It wouldn't be on the salary cap, Zach.
But it wouldn't be on the cap. So
yep. Considering they wouldn't give Chris Finch like an extra $100,000, that's probably wishful thinking on my end.
They gotta pay it either way, so you
know. That's true. I don't know if they know that though.
You're right. Right. It's a smart move on Darrell's part. You kind of had to see it coming. Of course, he does it before draft night. Wilson Chandler, we still don't know what he's doing. And I think that's because Wilson Chandler would still get a contract out on the open market. Probably would get something like a 2 or 3 year deal for around $8 million bucks a season. So he would still potentially earn more, could guarantee himself more money,
you know,
over the long term.
I doubt, Zach, that he would catch more money at this point. But I do think if it's anything comparable, it's a distinct possibility. I think Chandler has enjoyed his time in Denver, but in my opinion, Zach, in my rookie season there covering the team, there was a clear dichotomy between Malone guys and Carl guys. And I would consider Chandler to be in the latter. And while I would never label him as like poisonous or anything like that, I would certainly consider him to be a type of dude who might be willing to leave $2 or $3 million on the table to play basketball in a place where he's more comfortable. He wants to play a small ball four. He does not like to spot up shoot. It didn't look like he had a ton of fun this season, man. And so you wonder if that's enough to motivate a guy at this point in his career. But I would be surprised, man, if someone offers him a longer and ultimately more fruitful deal than what he's looking at.
So do you think like, cause I could see somebody offering him a 2 year deal at $8 million per season, which is $4 million year, less than what he would get per year, but he would guarantee an extra year. So essentially he guarantees himself $16 million in salary, versus the $12 million. So he actually, because see, that's the thing when you get about older players, like, I certainly think if somebody was going to offer him a 3 year deal, he'd have to take it. Because as an older player, like, if you can guarantee that money and lock it in now, like, you do it, especially a guy like Chandler who's had hip issues. And even I think he might have had some hip soreness come up during the season. I can't remember.
We probably shouldn't do this, but reckless speculation hour. I wonder if that played into his inconsistencies, man. I know there's a lot to factor in with Wilson, and he's always been sort of a tough cat to pin down. But he played his best basketball out of the All-Star break. And that doesn't surprise me for an older dude with some hip issues. And then about 2 weeks later, as he started to slow down, he missed a game with soreness. It might be unfair of me to infer so much from one missed game, but I to your point, like, I do think that will be a factor in his free agency. I think teams are aware of the possibility of a sharp drop off here at any moment.
Right. Yep. I agree. And I think that's why, like I said, if you can get any sort of longer term deal, like, he would have to do it. But I think the number one reason he hasn't opted in as of today, or out, is because he, like, why would he do it before the draft? Like, if he waits till after the draft, then the Nuggets have to get his permission if they want to use him in a trade, because he has to opt into his deal.
Right.
So he effectively has, like, a no trade clause that he can use with the Nuggets on draft night. He doesn't have to opt in until the 29th, which is, of course, a week after the draft will be over.
So. Plus, it's possible that Wilson just doesn't want to think about it yet. You never know.
Right. Right. He's just like, yeah, dude, I'm just, he's probably just hanging out somewhere.
Yeah, he just doesn't know. Vegan food. Yeah, he's just chilling.
So let's kind of, the closing thought, I guess I'll do this, is going back to Darrell Arthur now. Now that he's in and talking about the draft, now that he's in and he is available to be traded, do you think that's a guy that the Nuggets are going to try and shop? Or essentially, you're shopping his contract is what it is, $7 million of expiring money. Is that something, a type of deal that they're going to look for maybe at the draft or just during the season?
Absolutely. I mean, they're going to want to try to get off money. He's going to be a little easier to get off of than Fareed. He's certainly the type of guy that could be involved to make the money work in any sort of draft night trades. Absolutely. I mean, there's no reason to pay him that much to contribute what he has these last two seasons.
Right.
And I don't think that's a mistake. I don't think anyone would be surprised to hear that, and or anyone feels differently. So, you know, he's another guy, man. Like, Fareed, it may take the pick or trading back. I wonder if, even if they don't get it done on draft night, Zach, if just move it, like, just as an expiring deal. Again, those teams like Brooklyn or Atlanta who are in rebuild mode, ready to take on expiring deals for middle-of-the-road assets, a la Malik Beasley, Juancho Hernangómez. Right. If the Nuggets can move Darrell without having to give up too much, I expect that to happen. You know, they just need the right team in the right cap, you know, salary cap situation to be willing to play ball.
Right, right. You look at a team like Atlanta, for example, who will have to pick up, you know, Atlanta's not going to be like a big player in the free agent market.
Right. They don't need that space. Right.
Right. They don't need it. In fact, they've probably got to fill up a little bit of it. I'm not going to do the math right now, just to hit the floor. So like a guy like Darrell Arthur is like perfect for that. All right. We are out of time. And we got through everything. That's awesome. Brendan is, all right, Brendan, you are on Twitter. You are at
BVOGT422. Every time I do this, I realize I should change my handle. It's very hard.
BVOGT422
at Twitter. It's got a nice ring to it, almost, though. Yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like a cheer that we should, you could like get some girls with some pom poms.
I'm just the right level of narcissistic for that. I could get on board.
We'll pitch it. We'll pitch it to the dancers. We'll see what they say. I am at Zach Mikash. So if either of you, if anybody out there wants to get into a fight with us and buy us plane tickets, we are available. At Denver Stiffs, at NBN-Radio. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at The Denver Stiffs. Make sure you're also following us on Facebook. Give us a like as well. And if you are listening to the podcast version, we would appreciate if you would subscribe and leave a rating. All right, Brendan. Appreciate you being on, man.
Hey, thanks, man. Anytime, dude.
All right, everybody. We will talk to you next week.